الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بعد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's possible that you dislike something, but there is benefit in it for you. And it is possible that you like something, تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا, you love something, and but there is share and evil in it for you, and Allah knows, and we do not know, and you do not know. I mentioned yesterday in connection with this ayah about the issue of trials and tribulations that come upon us in this life, and how despite the fact that we don't like what happens to us, there is benefit in it for us, which is apparently hidden. But if you understand and have trust in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you see the benefit. Today we'll talk about the opposite of that, which is things that we love, but in which there is no benefit for us, and in which there is actually evil for us. Now this is not a blanket statement, doesn't apply to everything, but it applies to a lot of stuff. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hearts the love for wealth, the love for beauty, the love for comfort, and so on. And if you look at it, this is what most of our life seems to be focused on. How to become more wealthy, how to become more influential, how to have more luxuries, how to have more leisure, how to have more comfort. So this is what we seem to be focused on. But if you look at where has it led us, if you look at what has happened to society today, which is focused continuously and totally on consumerism, on consumption and more consumption, all of which is this, which is based on more money, so you buy more stuff. You have more money, so you buy more stuff. And you to buy more stuff, you need more money. So what it has turned our life into a terrible drudgery, where we, and this takes us into also into the realm of haram, where we, what we can't buy just now, we take loans to buy that, and then we spend the rest of our lives paying the loan. Quite apart from the fact that when we take these interest-based loans, we are actually buying the enmity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wealth, which seems to be something that is worth having, has the potential of causing a great deal of harm for us in life. Of course, having wealth by itself is not necessarily an evil thing. There's nothing romantic about poverty. Yes, we need to have wealth, but we also then need to have the ability to use that wealth for benefit, not just purely for consumption luxury, which is what most people do with their wealth. Even though we like to talk about how charitable one should be and so on, the example I usually give is that if you're most of us, you're driving a car which is worth say 1.5 or 2 million rupees, and if I ask you, in the last 1 year, did you give away 2 million rupees in charity? We know the answer to that. So what we spend on ourselves on luxuries is not even equal to what we spend on charity, even though we know cognitively that charity is qard towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a qard hasanah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Charity is for our own benefit in the akhirah. Allah does not need our charity. This is what we are spending in the path of Allah, so that this is waiting for us when we go before Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. We know all this in theory, but in practice, if we look at our spending patterns, is this theory of ours, is this so-called iman of ours, is it reflected in our actions? And that's, I think, the answer should be, we should each of us look for this answer in our own lives. Similarly, if you take at what happens to wealth, if you take people who have money, we can look for these examples in ourselves, in our own lives, in the lives in our families, in lives of people in our environment, and also globally. If you look at some of, for example, how many cases do we know where children, parents who really must have discretion, they don't have discretion, and they buy their children expensive toys. I call them toys because what else is it? Fancy motorcycles, fancy cars. And then they overspeed and they crash and they die. Now, of course, we know that life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is decreed is decreed. But if you look at the circumstances that lead to that decree, You have to say that that motorcycle, that fancy motorcycle you bought, your son is what caused that accident. So really, if you look at it and say that, you know, how responsibly do we use our wealth? Same thing to do with health. Alhamdulillah, there's nothing good about being unfit. But if you spend a lot of time on fitness and so on, now you're going to gyms and you're exercising and so on, you get a good body. And then it leads you into, has the potential to lead you into all kinds of sin because you have a good body. You know, you look attractive and so on and so forth, and that attracts its own brand of evil. Now again, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. Having a good body is absolutely essential, very critical to be fit, critical to look after your health. There's nothing romantic about digging your own grave with your teeth by eating like there is no tomorrow and being obese and fat and flabby and so on. But at the same time, it's important to look at what is this health giving us in terms of actual benefit. And that is why if you look at what Islam recommends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a young person who spends his youth in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the hadith relating to the people who have the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day when there is no shade except his shade. One of them is the youth who spends his time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, why youth? Because that's the time for maximum temptation. And a person in that temptation spends time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is what we must do with our youth. Although, as we know, most of us don't do that. So this is the issue of wealth. If you take the issue of knowledge, for example, again, something which we see as beneficial, especially the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of a hadith, the knowledge of religion, and of course also other knowledge. We see this as beneficial, and indeed it is beneficial. But again, it has the potential for evil, because one of the first things that happens to people of knowledge is that they become arrogant. They become arrogant, they start thinking of themselves as superior to other people because they have read this and that book, or because they have qualified from this and that university, because they have this PhD or that PhD. They consider themselves to be superior. Now, arrogance is the slippery slope that leads straight into the pit of hell. So therefore, what has that knowledge gained you? The knowledge brought you to Jahannam. Now what is the benefit of that knowledge? But if we temper that knowledge with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we temper that knowledge with self-analysis and self-awareness to show really how weak we are, then this knowledge leads to tawadu, which is humility, and that's what is required. But again, that comes from tarbiyah and training. Knowledge by itself does not achieve that. If knowledge alone benefited, then worms wouldn't eat books. So this is the issue of knowledge. Then we come to the issue of luxuries. We take whatever luxury we have in life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this specifically in the Quran, that you will be asked, summa latus'alunna yawma idhin 'anil na'im. You will be questioned on the Day of Judgment about the comforts that you used to seek, about the luxuries that you ran after. In that context, if you look at what does wealth give us? Wealth gives us one of the most insane things that people do is collect stuff. People collect, all kinds of stuff. And we have in our city probably the largest private collection of any man, which is the Salarjung Museum, private collection of Salarjung. Now, what benefit did that private collection do? What benefit did it give to Salarjung? Apart from some momentary pleasure of having, bought this or bought that, which is really a an infantile mind, mind of a four-year-old who rejoices in having toys. And then very soon that joy also goes away, because every time you need a new toy. And the result is a museum which the world marvels at and looks at. And I don't know how many people look at it as saying that what on earth was this man thinking? What huge this wealth that he had, what all benefits he could have derived for himself and for others. Instead of which he spent his wealth collecting, frankly, if you ask me, a lot of junk, because what is the benefit of those things? So similarly, today you have people who don't have that wealth, but who have wealth, but they spend the wealth in, collecting pens and collecting watches and collecting cars and so on. And then the tragedy is, for example, you have this collection of, of very wealthy, of very expensive artifacts of whatever kind, whether it's, you know, pens or watches or jewelry. You can't even keep it in your house because it's too expensive to risk that. You can't even wear it all the time because obviously how many watches are you going to wear? So you have to pay to have them stored in vaults and banks. You can't even go and see them every day because you have to have access to the bank and so on. And if it's a holiday, you can't just walk in there. So you have to have, you know, photographs of that, and you are looking at the photograph. And if you're only going to look at the photograph and enjoy it, then you can just look at the photograph and enjoy it. Why do you need to buy it and collect it and put it into a bank vault? But none of this occurs to people whose minds are at an infantile level, who are thinking like 4 years old, where you are only focused on, I must own this thing. So this happens only because you have the money. If you didn't have the money, you may have wanted that, but it's never going to happen. So the money, instead of being a means for you to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has become a curse on you. We have converted our wealth into a curse on ourselves. We've converted education into a curse on ourselves. We've converted, all the possibly and potentially good things that life could give us into a curse on ourselves. Now, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا فَهُوَ شَرُّ لَكُمْ. That it is possible that you have love for these things, but in them is hidden evil for you. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, where he said, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, verily, if I increase the provision of my slaves on the earth, then they will rebel on the earth. They will become rebellious. They will do all kinds of things which are obviously harmful for us. That we can't harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, surely if I increase their provision, they will become rebellious. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down provision in measured quantities. And this is the yunazzilu biqadr in mayasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down measured quantities according to how he wishes. So this is the khair and the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, that this deen has. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us and helps us understand what happens. So alhamdulillah, if we, as long as we have enough that we are not in want, nobody actually ever prayed for, nobody meaning none of the anbiya and none of the sulaha and salihin and none of the salafu salihin, none of the ulama, prayed for wealth. And that's the reason why they did not ask for money, because they knew the trial and tribulation that money comes with. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us free from want, to ensure that we are never in need, that we never have to ask anyone other than Him, Jalla Jalalu. But beyond that, it's His, it is His favor. If Allah sees benefit in it for us, then may He give us. And if Allah does not see benefit in us, in it for us, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withhold it, even if we ask for it, because otherwise that becomes a burden on us, and it becomes a curse on us instead of being a blessing. So we, this is very important, therefore, to look at our lives, not in terms of what appears on the surface of it, but to go behind and say what is behind this appearance, so that we really recognize the reality of what we are seeing, and we are not deceived by the facade of what comes before us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see the benefit of this deen, and to completely embrace this deen of Islam, and to live our lives by Islam, because it's not talking about Islam but living Islam that actually benefits. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which pleases Him, and to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.